in Ziploc that. Right on my waistline is why I kept that strap. I remember nights, I didn't remember nights. I damn near went crazy, I had to get it right. Now I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. Hey, now I'm your favorite trapper's favorite trapper. The absolute truth, yeah, no joke. Who me, I merge.
Come on! What up, Randy?
What's going on, man?
How's basketball? You guys in the playoffs?
Oh, we're deep in it. Yeah, going well. We're hopeful, man. We have a good squad. Game tomorrow night.
Is it really ramped up yet?
Yeah, it'd be like statewide round of 64.
Oh, okay. So you're just in the pre-qualifier.
Yeah, we'd have to win 4 more to get to the Final Four.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
No offense. I'm kind of hoping you guys lose here pretty soon. Dive back into golf.
It'll definitely free up the schedule a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll get a few more trap draws out.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we will throwback Tuesday here with our old recording devices.
Yeah, we're back to the string and tin pans.
We hooked up the string. But I think we got a good one on tap tonight. We're excited. We have JT Poston on the show.
The T stands for Tyree, which is
the Island Mafia, yeah. Newly made man.
Pretty much the chillest guy in the world, I think. Like, seriously, I'm like, man, this guy, I could use a little bit of his worldview, just as far as, you know, taking things as they come and being laid back and relaxed and just being in the moment. It seems like
he sure didn't seem to sweat much, which is very refreshing. Refreshing.
He's down in Tampa. Fired him up. It's Tuesday night. Talked to him about 7 p.m. So he's pumped. This course should suit his eye this week, and he's on a little bit of a heater. He made a couple cuts in a row. Played really well at Honda last week, and then the week prior at Riv, shot like 65 in the opening round, I think. So, kid's got game, and he's got some extra large huevos based on his story. So,
yeah. You know, I kind of view the Valspar as the East Coast version of Riv, and not necessarily from a course standpoint, I guess, but more from a viewer experience. Like it's consistently overlooked, but yet, like every year, I'm like, you know, damn, that was a good tournament. Like I enjoy watching the golf. The course has enough bite, enough variety, where it's fun to watch guys hit different shots. You know,
well, and there's a variety of players.
Yeah,
that contend too. You know,
it looks pretty good on TV.
Yeah. No,
so
sure.
I hope he does well. Hopefully he can have a similar, if not better, result than he had out in LA.
Yeah, I think the one thing we didn't get to ask him about was Pebble. Like, I was curious to get his takes there. We might have to have him back on just as far as, like, who he played with, amateur partner, and then, you know, because he's played in two tournaments so far with three courses on the docket, mm-hmm. like in Pebble and the one out in Palm Springs, Career Builder. So, like, that to me, that's got to be extra hard for rookies. Not only is everything new to you, but you got to look at three courses instead of one. You know?
Yeah, just more the process.
Yeah.
Sure.
Any takes from you on the Mexico tournament?
I loved it. It so far exceeded my expectations. I was a huge fan. I was riveted. I loved the course. It was quirky. Dudes were just hitting out of the trees, into the trees. It was tons
the
of variety.
Lit. Yeah.
Yeah. The marshals were lit. the fans were great. I loved it. I could not have been. It was a great weekend of viewing. Like, quite honestly, the tour needs more courses like that. You know, they need more environments like that.
For sure. I think they do need to embark on some sort of foliage agronomy undertaking down there. But yeah, I mean, I think it's cool to see. You know what I think would be cool with that tournament would be like, all right, we're gonna play this at altitude, so all your numbers are messed up anyway,
mm-hmm.
and then like you have to play a Bellotta ball this week.
So, yeah,
like,
they
you have
could
to play, like old ass clubs this week. Like that would be sweet because then it'd just be like, all right, like who is an actual ball striker and who's just tuned up their stuff to you know kind of, and that was I think that's a good lead into JT was kind of enjoyed talking to him because. He seems like kind of a throwback on tour. You know, he's not a bomber.
Yeah, for sure.
Putter. He's kind of self-made. You know, it doesn't sound like he's been tapped for superstardom since he was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a refreshing, refreshing conversation. But I think the tour needs to do a better job of making sure there's enough courses for guys. You know, guys like him that they kind of suit that skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And it's overly skewed towards the bomb and gouge mm-hmm. kind of player right now.
Right. And I think, if anything, it's like from a viewing perspective, that's not necessarily the most captivating by any means, the bomb and gouge. Like, it's fun to watch guys have to hit shots.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I thought
it's more fun, like watching Mickelson hit out of the trees and seeing him just, you know, nut it over a dog leg with no...
Right. Right.
No concept of penalty or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. I guess the other thought, too, going back to, well, John Rahm seems to be way legit. But I'll also set you up with this, is DJ seems to be fully unleashed.
Yeah. I mean, DJ is, he's like, he's basically like Lil Kimmy up in North Korea right now.
You know, like, hide your wife, hide your kid.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, shit, Austin better not go to the Malaysian airport or whatever, you know, wherever.
Yeah.
DJ is doing bad things right now. But, yeah, and then, yeah, Rahm, dude. I'm still waiting for our boy Riggsy from the Foreplay Barstool podcast to figure out who he is. But yeah, John Rahm, that guy sucks. Oh my God, like he's just, and it's on a variety of courses too. I mean, he shows up.
His game travels.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, any other takes? Anything else?
I'm trying to think what's been in the news. I don't really have, you know, I kind of took it a little bit with my. With my Ricky predictions back at the Honda, but I'll own those. He showed up. He showed out.
You and Johnny are kind of in the same camp as far as.
Yeah, I think Johnny and I, you know, we're just left feeling a little bit unfulfilled, I guess.
I feel like you need to lay out your Rick-tator stance a little bit more.
I'm not nearly fired up enough to do it justice. But in a nutshell, like I really like the guy. So that's what I want to preface everything with is.
I really like him, but I'm going to shit all over him.
No, I'm not even going to do that. I like, he seems like a great guy. I would legitimately want to hang out with him. It's nothing about that. Where it's always struck me is like, you know, he's just constantly in my face. And it's like, after a certain point, I'm like, what has this guy done? Like, why is he always in my face? And then on top of that, it's like, why are you wearing joggers? Like, why are you wearing high tops? I don't need that. I don't want to see it. You know, maybe some people like that. I don't, you know, when you put it all together, I just need a little bit more, you know, you got to back it up a little bit more. Or else you got to take some of it.
Right.
Yeah,
you
just got to take some of it away if you're not going to back it up. You just got to, you know.
It's just all right for me, dog.
Yeah. So that's kind of the abbreviated take.
Okay.
And he was a golf boy. I think people forget that. He was in the golf boys.
Kind of, Well, I think you tweeted it a few weeks ago where he kind of ghosted the golf boys.
Yeah, now he's going to pretend like he and Bubba were never, like, in a music video and stuff. I don't
so I
know.
Think people took that take as, like, you were upset that he ghosted them when really you were upset that he was associated with them in the first place.
A little
right?
bit. Yeah, yeah. Like, I think that's a bad look. I don't like that.
I just want to know how Ben Crane got in that whole mix, too.
You know, honestly, it might, you know, like, that'd be a fascinating, you know, little documentary. They need to break down the origins of the Golf Boys.
How that whole thing came together.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a Team Wasp deal. Hashtag Team Wasp. Come in. Well, yeah. Without further ado.
Yeah.
JT
enjoy Poston. Enjoy the conversation with JT Poston.
All right, guys. JT, I got Big Randy on the phone too.
All right, what's going on, guys?
Hey, JT. Thanks for your time tonight.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate y'all getting me on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You down in Tampa?
I am. Yeah. Got down here Sunday night late. Been out, played the course a couple times, and getting ready to roll.
Cool. What's the vibe down there?
Pretty good. It's pretty similar to Honda, I feel like, golf course wise. It's not easy. Not easy. Innsbruck is a good test for golf for sure.
Does that kind of suit your game more? You know, a little bit tighter off the tee, a little bit.
I think just kind of keeping it in front of me has always been a strength, but there's no, like, glaring advantage for guys that hit it a long ways or guys that, I guess, you know, chip and putt it better than most. I think it's just, you know, play solid golf and try not to make a bunch of bogeys and throw a couple birdies in there and you reach 10, which, I mean, I feel like I've always just played well at those kind of courses in the past, so. See how it pans out this week.
You know, I mean, you're kind of on a little heater right now here over the last few weeks. I wanted to hit on that a little bit, and then I was just kind of looking at your record from last year. I mean, you went in with no status last year, right?
Yeah. So I started the year. I didn't get through Q school, so I didn't have any status, and actually tried to do PGA Canada Q school. And didn't get good status out there. So I was not really sure what I was going to play in the rest of the year and just went up and did the Monday in Indiana. Played well, got in. Actually made eagle on my last hole of the tournament to finish top 25, and then that got me the next week and finished third and was off and running. Played the rest of the year.
That's incredible. How razor thin that line is.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. That was kind of the jump start and just kind of been, I guess, on a heater ever since then, really.
Yeah.
So as far as Q school goes, like, so those that don't know, like, you go to Web Tour Q school, and then Canada is a totally different deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. It's not – so Web Q school, you got, I guess, three, four different stages you got to get through, three, four different weeks. But, like, for the Latin America, for Canada, it's just 1 week at one site, and you'll have a full field, and, I don't know, maybe 20 guys and ties get cards for the year.
Okay.
And then conditional goes on down the list from there.
And so you just didn't like your status on there, and it wasn't traveling to the year, you just didn't have any status?
Yeah, pretty much wasn't worth it. I mean, I think I had really bad conditional.
Okay.
I think I got one of the last conditional cards, and I mean, I could have gone up there and Monday'd in and done that, but it just worked out to where I just went and did a couple Mondays before doing that and before playing some mini tour events and just kind of got on a roll before any of that rolled around anyways, and so I just stuck with it.
Okay. So going back, I guess, kind of going back, so you're from North Carolina.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then How did you end up at Western Carolina?
I kind of fell into it. I wasn't recruited by a bunch of big schools, but I did go on a visit to NC State and loved it. That was kind of, I remember leaving my visit there and feeling like that was where I wanted to go, and was kind of under the impression and was told by the coach that he was going to give me an offer later that week, and then got an email a couple weeks later saying that all their scholarship money was up, that they wanted me to walk on, and I would have a spot on the team, but I just felt kind of shady about it. Didn't sit well. And so I just kept looking at some other options, and Western was one of them, and I liked the coach a lot at the time, and I had two coaches up there. I liked them both. They were both great and a big part of my development for sure. But I was just, I don't know, I was a late bloomer and went up there and knew I'd get some playing time and played all 4 years. And I don't know, I think that was pretty important for me.
It's a pretty cool, very gorgeous area of the country. I'm from Atlanta originally. And,
okay, yeah.
I've driven through up there a couple times. We used to go up to
Highlands.
Highlands in the summer, and then Boone to go skiing.
Yeah.
You know, we'd go up there and kind of drive through. That was always fun.
Yeah.
But,
So I'm from Hickory, which is only about an hour from Boone. So
okay.
Know the area.
Yeah. So were you an NC State fan growing up? Or was that just
kind of... I actually was not. No, that was just kind of the only one, like the only visual school that really showed me any kind of interest when I was going through that whole recruiting deal. I've always been a Tar Heel fan. I actually just went to, I was at the UNCB game, the basketball game this past weekend in Chapel Hill, which was incredible. So,
you more DL3 than Carl Patterson.
Yes, exactly. Big DL3 fan, for sure. For sure. If I could have gone there, if I could have picked anywhere to go, that's probably where I would have went.
Yeah,
golf was good, but I just would have gone just to be able to be a Tar Heel, go to some of those games, go to the basketball games, and just be around it.
Well, I pulled up your bio from Western Carolina, the Catamount Athletic site.
Yeah.
So it says here, its brilliant performance earned a mention in the faces in the crowd section of the May 23rd Sports Illustrated from.
Yeah.
I guess that was in high school. I've always been fascinated by people that were the faces in the crowd section.
That was total shock. I mean, I was just a little high school kid, just played really good at States, and set a couple of records, which was awesome, but I was not expecting to get a call from Sports Illustrated, that's for sure.
So you shot 63, and then you shot 13 under 131 in the state championship.
Yeah, one by nine, but didn't. It was too late. I'd already signed with Western, and it's probably a good thing. I'm glad. I mean,
so that was your
being up there. Yeah,
okay.
But it was.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
wasn't
damn, I
don't
know how you're doing that. Not getting
right, exactly. Like I said, a late bloomer. I didn't have much of a resume at all when these schools are recruiting kids when they're 13, 14 years old. So, I was a tiny little kid when I was that old. Got overlooked by just about everybody.
Were you primarily focused on golf growing up, or did you do, you know, different sports and it was just, you know, always something – that you loved and did well, or were you kind of deep in the AJGA scene?
I was not an AJGA kid. Never played in one. Just played in the Carolinas. I played all kinds of sports. Played golf, tennis, basketball, baseball.
Dude, that's so refreshing to hear.
Yeah. I mean,
you're probably like one of five guys that's American on the tour that didn't play.
Yeah, I know. There's not many out there. I don't even know if I haven't really talked to many guys on tour yet about that, but I've got to want a few, I feel like. I mean, everybody, it's come up on conversation before. Just at and player dining are on course, and yeah, I have nothing to say. I never played in the FootJoy, the Thunderbird, or the, I don't even know where they played them, or yeah, anything like that. But yeah, I just stayed in the Carolinas, and I mean, I played basketball until my freshman year in high school, and was always better at golf, but I kind of knew that was going to be my route, but I don't know. I like playing them all.
You pretty much dominate. I mean, looking at your college record, you just crushed it in the Southern Conference. So who else is in the Southern Conference? Like, what other schools are y'all playing against?
When I was there, first couple of years, we had Georgia Southern, App State, Tennessee, Chattanooga, College of Charleston, Furman, Wofford, and then I think a few years ago, a couple teams, some teams went to the Sun Belt. App State, Georgia Southern, and College of Charleston all left. And, Mercer and East Tennessee State joined the Southern Conference. Those were both good programs at the time for golf. So there was always a couple good teams, but SoCon was, you know, it was pretty top heavy, I feel like, most of the year, team wise. And player-wise, I guess, individually.
This might be a stupid question. I apologize if it is. But is there, like, a sense of, like, did you guys have a rival for, you know, is there kind of that sense of rivalry in college golf from a team standpoint? Or being more, a little bit individual, not as much?
Yeah, I never quite felt like that. I don't know if it was just because I was at a smaller school. I don't know if there's, you know, a lot of the rivalries, you have the rivalries that are big in the other sports, and it can kind of leak over. I mean, we played, my first 2 years, we used to play a little Ryder Cup style type match against App State, and App State and Western Carolina were always big rivals in years past, and it was just kind of our deal, like our little rivalry match that we did every year. It was just us against them, Ryder Cup style, and it was a lot of fun. But once they switched conferences, that kind of went away. And but I mean, like you said, it's an individual sport. There's not as much rivalry, I would say, as other sports.
You wear a lot of purple.
I did in college. I don't have as much purple in my wardrobe these days.
So you're not going the J.J. Henry route?
That's the J.J.
No.
Getting steep on it?
No, I'm not wearing out the purple. trying to mix it up, but it may be a practice round shirt. But if I'm going to get some TV time, I got to make sure. If it's a good-looking purple shirt, maybe, but there aren't too many of those out there, I don't think.
Well, speaking of apparel and TV time, who's your main sponsor? Is it MGM Grand?
So I'm with MGM Grand and Zudi, which is a software company, an accounting software company, and always been a Titleist and FootJoy guy, or a Titleist guy, and then when I turned pro, started wearing the FootJoy apparel, and that's it. For now.
All right, MGM Grand, is there anything looped in there? Like you get a couple free trips to Vegas every year?
What's the game?
Yeah, so it's my first year, and it's just a one-year deal for now, just kind of building a relationship, but got a bunch of credit and can go stay at the MGM and go out and hang out in Hakkasan if we want to go out at night. Can pretty much do whatever you want. Just use the credit and send it.
Nice. You can go out there and hang out with TA3 a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
So, going back, you said you Mondayed into that tournament. Was that in Evansville?
Yeah.
One last year. Did you really have any expectations playing in that tournament? I mean, obviously, you're probably trying to do as best as you can, but I mean, that was your first web event, right?
That was my first web event. And honestly, I mean, I just wanted to make the cut. Making a cut in one of those is a lot better paycheck than trying to play those mini tour events. And so I just, that was the first goal, was make the cut and made it on the number and played well enough on the weekend and kind of kept it going. But I was just kind of taking it all in. It was just cool to play on TV or have a chance to play on TV or in front of some decent crowds and do all that. I was
kind of playing without money, though, but you weren't putting much pressure on yourself or anything.
Right. I mean, there were definitely some nerves on the first tee and stuff, but I was just enjoying it. I mean, I shot 77 the first round, tough course, and was just, I mean, obviously disappointed, but, I mean, I was like, well, whatever. I'm on the web.com tour. I'm not on the mini tours.
You shot 77 and then 69, 72, 68. Okay. And
then,
so that gets you into the next week, or I guess the next tournament, which is really 2 weeks later.
Right.
And then, so what do you do? So the next tournament's down in the Carolinas then, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so that was like a home event for me, pretty much. It was a course I'd played before, and so definitely already felt comfortable out there. And just kept it rolling. I think having that week under my belt and kind of knowing what to expect helped me relax even more. And just, I mean, same thing. I went in, I had no idea what I needed to do to get status. I just went in there trying to, you know, finish top 25 so I could play in Greenville and do that. And,
so you finished third there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Golly, man.
Finished the round and had no, I mean, I think my agent Lee texted me and said, congrats on a good week. No more mini tours. And I was like, what? I didn't really understand what he meant by that. Until he told me that was enough to get me temporary status. And basically I would reshuffle the rest of the year, no matter what I did after that. So.
God, that's dope. And then, the next week after that, it's the BMW charity down in Carolina. So you're still kind of home turf.
Yeah.
Ah, that's sweet. And then as far as mini tours, were you playing e-golf?
E-golf had just gotten bought out by the Swing Stock Tour when I turned pro.
Okay.
So I never played any of those. I was just, playing those couple of the Swing Stock Tour events and, I mean, just even some little one or two dayers that are maybe more local in the Carolinas or in Florida or just kind of, you know, wherever there was a decent tournament that wasn't too far away.
And then, all right, so then you go BMW, and then you go to, sorry, like, I'm just like a web tour junkie. I think it's fascinating.
Okay.
You had no status, and then you just turn this into, like, a PGA Tour card, and you're like, hey, man, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, so then you go to Punta Cana after that, make the cut down there.
Yep.
Finish 9-under. I mean, that's solid.
Yeah, 9-under that week was good for about 50th, I think. Scores were so low. And it was windy. I couldn't understand it. It was super wide, but it was kind of windy, and I felt like 9-under was okay. Didn't think I had a chance to win, but I thought I'd have a chance to finish somewhere somewhat near the top 25 and didn't even sniff it.
And as far, I mean, was that a big adjustment for you? Like, I know on the web tour, and I'm sure it's like this on most of the mini tours, but I mean, you got to get a so low to even
get
a shot at it. I mean, is that something, have you always made a ton of birdies?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, I mean, my biggest strength is probably my putting. And out there, a lot of the golf courses, the first two I played weren't this way, but a lot of them, you just kind of hit it down a fairway. You probably got a wedge in your hand or a short iron. Knock on the green, and a lot of times the guy that wins is the guy that makes the most putts, which you can say that about these courses on tour, but, I mean, you're not going to make too many mistakes tee to green in a lot of those web events. It's just a matter of who can make the most birdies and make the most putts.
Mm-hmm.
And
making 12 and 15-footers.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that played right into my strengths, which was great. So
then knowing that you got status pretty much for the rest of the year, did that change your mentality at all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I knew I'd be playing the rest of the year, and I'd be in the rest of the year in all the tournaments. And so it all of a sudden went from just trying to make cuts and make some money and and keep that bank account looking okay, paying the bills, to, okay, let's, you know, try and finish top 75 and or get past that threshold and lock up my web card for next year. And, you know, once I did that, it was like, okay, now let's see if we can get in that top 25 and get the tour card. And had a couple of real high finishes later on in the year that helped do both of those.
So, yeah, I mean, it looked like, so then you went out to Wichita, missed a couple cuts, then went to Wichita, T6, opened with a 63.
Yeah.
And then next month, Lincoln Land Charity Championship, T2, 67, 67, 66, 64, 20 under.
Yeah.
And then T13 out in the Bay Area at Stonebray.
Yeah.
And then, so by that time, are you thinking, oh, shit,
by
I got
that time, yeah.
Four cards?
Yeah, well, by that time, I had easily locked up my web card for next year and locked up the finals. So I knew, you know, then it was like, okay, you're going to have a shot at the end of the year in the playoffs to where one good week, one top five, and you got your tour card.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and I was playing great. I just, I don't know. I mean, I was, there weren't any shots that I felt like I couldn't hit and was rolling it well like I had all year and just kind of, obviously, I mean, had a lot of good rounds, a lot of low rounds, and just kept it going. I think that eight-week stretch finished off the year. I think I made the last six cuts maybe, the last five, something like that, and had some good finishes in all of them.
So question – all right, so Stonebray, like last year, that was when one dude shot, was it 58 or 59? And then,
yeah.
And then backed it up with something. So you shot 67, 64. How many shots back were you after two rounds?
I think I was like 10 back. I was 10 back after, yeah, something like that. I remember it was something ridiculous. I remember that, Ethan. So I have a bunch of some old college teammates, some old college coaches. We have this group text that just goes off about every day. But I remember talking to him about it and saying, you know, I mean, whatever, 8 under par, not 10 under par. I don't remember what I was, but pretty good. And it wasn't like a drive, chip and putt type golf course like some of the web courses were. And
no, that's a tough course. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good track. I mean, I was shocked how low those scores were all week. But I guess some guys thought it was easier than I did. I thought, yeah, I mean, I don't think I could have played much better to finish 15th or whatever I did that week, get beat by 14 guys.
Look, and then it's crazy. I mean, he didn't even get his tour card this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that just speaks to the depth of, I mean, how
the
web guys out there can play. Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know Jaeger pretty well, and he's a great player. Similar type game to me, I feel like. Drives it well, hits and putts it really good. And so he kind of, obviously that was one of his weeks, just get in the zone and wake up on Sunday and you're 30 under par. And I can't say I've done that, but.
So you finished 14 under, and you were 16 shots back.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude, that is mind blowing.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to him the next week and just. I mean, I don't. I could have made everything I looked at, not even sniffed it.
So the next week, you go to Digital Ally Open. Where's that one?
That is, I think that might be Kansas City. Yeah, that's Kansas City.
Okay. And then you finished second there, was a playoff.
Yeah.
But you shoot 70, 63, 65, 66, so 20 on
there. Yeah, was in the playoff there with Wesley and Grayson.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then by that point,
yeah, so that week, actually, I think So Keith, yeah, I don't know if y'all know Keith Mitchell or I think he's been on with you guys, but I remember being in that playoff, and I actually had like an 8-footer in regulation last ball to win it and whip it out to go into the playoff. And I mean, made birdie on the first playoff hole, and so did the other two guys, and then hit a good shot on the second one, just missed putt, and Wesley made birdie. But I remember walking off the green being kind of disappointed, and like, obviously, from being that close to win and not being able to win, but had no idea that I had just locked up my scorecard until Keith saw me walk off the green. Had a big ass smile on his face, and I was like, "What is wrong with you?" And he's like, "Tour bound, baby." And so, I mean, that was, I mean, obviously could care less about the tournament at that point, knowing that I'd locked it up and would be out here this year.
Oh, that's awesome. So the, and then from then on, you're really just playing with house money. So
then from then on, you know you're gonna be on tour. But it is, I mean, those web finals
events, where you
finish on that priority list is very important. I knew it was important at the time, but now after playing the fall and playing out here, I realized just how important it is to be as high up there as you can, just so you know, just so you get more opportunities.
For sure. Yeah, so 12th the next week, 16th the week after that, 26th the week after that. You just kept it rolling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So jumping ahead. So so then you kind of just jump right into the fall series, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, we played those West Finals events and had a week off and jumped straight into the fall series.
So, all right, so you go out to Napa, make the cut out there.
Yeah.
How does your mentality change, like, you know, going from web to PGA, or does it at all?
I'm
just trying to do your thing.
I think, yeah, I was definitely trying to just do my thing. It's a little harder out here the first couple of events just because there's a lot more going on. And, I mean, you obviously got some big crowds, and you got, I mean, nerves are definitely there. Because by the end of the web season, especially the last couple of events, when I knew I'd locked up my card, and there were nerves and stuff, but you're comfortable out there. And then you're thrown into that whole new atmosphere on the tour. And I had never played a tour event before, and so Napa was my first one. And there was a lot of hype around Tiger Nose being there, which didn't end up coming. But it was just a lot going on. And I played fine. I played really well on Sunday, and that kind of calmed me down a little bit, and felt good going into the rest of the events after that.
So there's really no reset for you. I mean, you just got to jump right into it. Like, did your sponsors change at all? Like, how does all that work when you are all kind of lined up during the web tour finals?
I was just on the web. I was just titled for Port Joy because at the start of the year I had no status, and so it all happened so fast that I didn't really have anything lined up, and it's just kind of one of those deals where you start lining that stuff up at the end of the year. And so my whole MGM and Zooty thing didn't happen until 2017 and the start of this year. None of that really changes in the fall series.
And then as far as events go, I mean, are you pretty much guaranteed to play all the fall series events where you were on the priority list?
Yeah, so I was, I don't remember, I think I want to say I was around 20 to 25. And that guy ended up getting into all of them, but I think there were a couple that I was close to not getting in. I think Vegas is usually the hardest one to get into from our category, and I think I ended up getting in by a couple. And I think Mayakoba ended up being a lot closer than it has been in the past, but snuck in there too. And
okay.
But the rest are pretty easy.
Randy, I'll let you hop in here. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm monopolizing this shit.
That's all right.
I'm like down the wormhole, man.
Yeah.
You get it.
No. So my question is, now that you've been out on tour, you know, a little bit,
uh-huh.
You know, thinking back to when, you know, you're a freshman in high school, is there anything or even anybody that has, A, like exceeded your expectations, like your wildest dreams about being on tour? And is there, on the flip side of that, is there anything that's kind of not lived up to, you know, what your expectations would be out on tour? And that could be anything, courses, travel, you know, the glamour.
I would say the thing that hasn't lived up is you see, I guess, the travel. I mean, when it's your dream to be out here and you want to be out here that bad, all you're focused on is the golf and the big paychecks and the trophies and all of that. And you don't really think about the travel and just how much travel you're doing, all the different hotels you're staying in. I mean, it is what it is. It's part of it. But that's just something that I guess I hadn't really thought about in
mm-hmm.
depth that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess...
As far as family goes, do you have a significant other? Or do you pretty much roll solo out there?
Yeah, so I've been dating a girl, Nicole Neely, for 2 years. But she's in law school at University of Georgia, so she comes out once she has a chance. But right now it's been... a little tough just because she's pretty much just as busy as I am, just spending more time in the library than on the golf course. but I'd say, what's exceeded expectations, it's kind of surreal seeing guys play on tour, guys like Phil and Tiger and even some of the younger guys like Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson, those guys, just the first couple times you see him in the locker room, you're kind of like, wow, I can't even
you're
believe I'm
person.
Seeing this dude right now. Yeah. And you're not as big as I don't know what it is, but you see these guys. I think TV makes guys look a lot bigger than they actually are. Because, some of them, I'm thinking that they're just going to be huge dudes. And you see them in person, and they're not as monstrous as TV makes it look like they are.
Yeah, we, Tron, you and I have noticed that too when we've been to tournaments. It's like there's some guys. It's like I swear he's huge, and then you see him in
exactly.
person. It's
like
you
that's
know,
like Woodland, man. Like Woodland, like, he looks like he's like 6'5" on TV. And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I could have sworn like Kyle Stanley was gigantic, and then I come to find out he's not very big at all.
Exactly.
The one dude that always looks bigger to me in person than he does on TV, though, is Mickelson. Like, you don't realize, like, he's a pretty tall dude. He's a pretty big dude.
Yeah. He is.
So.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to get into some Sea Island stuff, Tron.
All right.
Yeah, we're told you live in Sea
Island. We got to talk about the Mafia.
Part of the Mafia, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm one of the new Mafia members, I guess. Moved
down
there about a year ago. Yeah.
Okay. So you made the choice to move down there pre any of you're just like blowing up on the web tour. You're just like, all
right,
right. Move to Sea Island. You just knew some guys down there or.
Yeah, I knew a couple of guys, but I didn't know them that well, but I signed with the same management group. It used to be Crown Sports. Now people know it as Lagadere. I signed with them. They have a nice deal down there with Sea Island as far as practicing and playing. And the weather was going to be way better down there than it was going to be in the foothills of North Carolina or in the mountains. So that was kind of a no-brainer. I'd heard about a lot of guys going down there and playing and practicing together and how it just seems to work. And I guess I'm another one of those byproducts of that Seattle Mafia. Get down there and start finding success right away.
Was that the only spot you looked at, or did you look at anywhere else? Whittle it down.
I had considered some places in Florida, but not way down in Jupiter where a lot of guys are. I had an old teammate that lives in Orlando, and he plays as well. And so I had thought about if the whole Sea Island thing didn't work out that I would get down there. But my biggest focus was just trying to find a place where the weather was going to be pretty good year-round and mm-hmm. and find a good practice facility. And after I signed with those guys in Sea Island. Yeah, I mean, you can't find any better down there than that they have set up for us.
So as far as the agency-wise, did you sign with them out of college, or was that something you moved to them?
I signed with them pretty much right out of college, right when I turned pro later that summer. So, yeah.
And then somebody was telling me your agent is that Lee? Is it Lee Knox?
Yeah, Lee Knox. Okay. Yeah, you guys know Lee?
I don't know him personally, but I know I know of him, and, you know, he comes from a pretty illustrious golfer family, as I'm told.
Right.
So,
Was
there a connection
to that?
Did you just know him kind of from growing up, or...?
No, I did not know Lee until, I guess, my senior year in college. I met him. He and Mac Barnhart came out and watched me at NCAA's my senior year, and met with him, sat down, talked with him, and rolled from there. Signed later that summer.
You ever play with his dad?
I have played with Jeff once down in Sea Island. Just played 9 holes and a little pro member they do down there in Sea Island called the Chalice Cup. That's a lot of fun. They do it in December. And he was down and played with him, and he and Henrik Norlander paired up and were a team. Not very easy team to beat.
For sure. All right, so sell me on Kuchar. All right, like, I guess those guys have kind of taken you under their wing on tour.
I have actually never met Kuchar. I've never seen him. I think I've seen him on the island maybe one time. So I have nothing on Kuchar. I've never met him.
Probably a good thing though. You'd be wearing Skechers and.
Yeah, I'm out on the
and all mismatched in no time, you know. So who do you roll with down there?
Mostly younger guys, but the guys on core, I mean, Harris English and Hudson Swafford, Harman, they've all kind of taken me under their wing a little bit. Played some practice rounds with them out on tour, and played with them in some off weeks. But for the most part, I mean, guys like Keith and Trey Mullinex and Bobby Wyatt. I mean, there's and I could keep naming guys. There's a million of them down there.
Yeah. Is Ted Fujikawa floating around down there?
You know, he is. I think he plays out at Brunswick Country Club, which is just across the bridge.
Yeah.
I've seen them here and there, because I'll go over there and play that course every once in a while. It's a good course, good golf course, just to mix it up. And he'll be out there. I've seen him out there. But he's all over the place. I think he's played in most Mondays, I'd say this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he plays Canada and the Monday. I mean, he's a traveling man.
He is. Sure. I don't think he's spending much time down in South Georgia. That's for sure.
I was going to say, all right, so heard a little bird told me that you drive a Kia SUV and you get a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, I do. So hoping to change that here really, really soon.
we thought you were repping it hard.
Nah, it was one of those deals where it was passed down to me, and it was perfect because it had no mileage on it when I turned pro, and I knew I was going to be pretty much living in my car. And so it was just like, I'm gonna drive it. It's great. I'm not going to have any issues with it. It's not going to fall apart on me on the road. And I just Still doubt it. So,
and you don't have a carpet.
I think that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think that's going to change here soon. I've been looking quite a bit.
You got to like keep that one though, right? I mean, you just got to keep it in the garage.
Maybe keep it in the family. Keep it in the family. I got a younger brother that might be able to put it to use, but I think I've reached the breaking point with it. Get something a little more what I like.
All right, out of all the tournaments you played on this year, I mean, you're on a pretty good stretch right now too. You finished T17 at Riviera and then T27
right.
Last week at Honda. But what's your favorite tournament you've been to so far?
Probably Riviera. Riviera. Yeah. I mean, everybody talks about how it's one of their favorites, and it's just an awesome tournament, awesome spot. I don't know if y'all played it, but it's in the golf course itself. There's no water anywhere, I don't think. I don't think there's any hazards anywhere. And it's still one of the, or even OB for that matter, but it's still one of the hardest, toughest tracks that we play. And I mean, it's just a good golf course, good atmosphere. The crowds are good. And it helps that I played well first time out there. So
yeah.
Right now, that's probably top of my list.
Opening round 66, I'd say so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, what's your mentality like going out every week? I mean, it's got to be tough and kind of exhausting. Every week is your first look at this
right.
course. You know, what do you,
yeah.
you know, do you rely on the veterans or do you have a veteran caddy? How does that work?
I do have a veteran caddy. He's, his name's Tommy Brody, Broderson. But he's caddied on tour. He's been caddying for 20 years. I think he's got about, I'd say between 6 and 8 years on tour. And so he's seen a lot of these courses several times. And, but I mean, guys like Husband Swofford and Patton Kizzire and Harris English, those guys, I've been playing practice rounds with them quite a bit. And, you know, they've all seen it before and just kind of, Hud's been really good when I play with him in practice rounds, just kind of tell me what's a good line, where to hit it with certain pins and just stuff like that. Just kind of give me an idea. So I'm not just going around playing the golf course, seeing it all. And he's just kind of giving me the pointers, some things to keep in mind.
You typically play a practice round with him every week or you try to mix it up?
I mix it up. But as of late, I've played quite a bit with Hud. I think starting the year in the fall, I played with Patton quite a bit and Trey. I play a lot. I probably played most practice rounds with Trey Molinax. Just, we'll find a game and play a couple guys or do something, keep it competitive, and go from there. But try and mix
and
it
then,
up.
And then Mondays you're doing Pro-Am for the most part.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesdays you're doing most of your work, or?
It depends on the week. Some courses, sometimes I'll do the Monday Pro-Ams. If it's a tournament where it's on more than one golf course, I'll try and do the Monday Pro-Am so that you can kind of knock it out. Knock one of the courses out. But if I don't play Monday, then I'll play it Tuesday and then maybe play 9 early Wednesday if there's a 9 that I feel like I want to see again. Because, I mean, I don't think there's a single course other than the Sea Island tournament that I've played before. So every time I'm showing up to the tournament and playing Tuesday, that's the first time I've seen any of the holes. And so I like to at least play it one of the 9s twice before taking it on Thursday.
That was my next question. So the Sea Island event, I mean, your few MCs this year.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
is that,
it was not our best,
is that just
not
a bunch of pressure,
show.
Or is that just a tough course for you?
You know, I don't know. I can't speak to the guys. I actually was really sick that week. So we played Mexico, and I don't know if it was something from down there or if it was something I ate, but I've never been so sick in my life. on Wednesday. Didn't even think about going to the golf course on Wednesday. And I remember actually thinking, like, if I'm not feeling much better Thursday, then I might have to pull out. Because, I felt better Thursday, but it was still kind of dicey. I mean, I was hitting 7 irons probably 15 yards shorter than a normal, just a full solid one, probably going 15 yards shorter than normal. I mean, the only thing I ate for 2-3 days were saltine crackers and drank water. So it was kind of, it was a rough week for me off the golf course. But I don't know. I mean, I could see guys putting a little extra pressure just because you feel like you should play well in your home event. But it plays so different. It plays so different tournament week versus every week.
That's what it seemed like, because looking at the leaderboard, I mean, like, I remember, like, I had Pat in my fantasy lineup that week and a couple others, and it was just like, you know, like, the guys you think are going to be comfortable there, you know, it just seems like it's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah, even just looking at the course, I mean, I might set up well for somebody, but when you've played it so many times and the greens aren't that fast and they're a little firmer than normal and you just, I mean, you'd think it, you'd be able to adjust, but you've played it so many times, you kind of, I don't know.
It's just a little bit different.
Yeah, it's just a little bit different. And
yeah,
it just takes that, I mean, everybody's got to play it like that, but it just kind of takes any sort of advantage you might have just from playing it so many times. That kind of goes out the window, I feel like, when it plays like that.
All right. JT, you've been very generous with your time. Tron, we're about 45 minutes. Do you mind maybe some just quick hitters here to
yeah.
end it? And then we can
– Yeah, all right.
And then we'll wrap.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Yeah, go ahead, Randy.
Okay, mine kind of piggybacks on a previous question. You know, we were talking about kind of the favorite place you have played. What's the course that you're most looking forward to seeing for the first time?
I'd say, I mean, honestly, where they have the Wells this year. I mean, I was looking forward to Quail Hollow because it's close to home, but after Eagle Point, it's incredible.
Eagle Point looks sweet, yeah.
But I'd say Hilton Head. I've never been there. I hear Hilton Head's awesome, good tournament. So I'd say that's probably the one I'm looking forward to the most right now.
Randy's caddying in the Pro-Am this year.
Yeah, dude.
in Hilton Head.
Yeah.
I'll keep an eye out then. You
be on the lookout. I stand out, man.
Yeah.
6'8".
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Do you think that one will suit your game too? Just being a good putter, being more of a precision player?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd like a course like that. But is it? I mean, I hear you just have to hit a lot of shots, a lot of different golf shots.
Yeah.
I like courses that make you have to hit a bunch of different shots with a bunch of different clubs. So,
do you have to, like playing with, obviously playing with Hudson Swafford all the time and Molinax, guys like that?
Yeah.
Do you have to, like, do you constantly find yourself trying to, like, not get wrapped up in how far they hit it.
I mean, it's stupid. It's kind of a point where I just laugh because everybody, I feel like all those guys, I mean, they hit it further than I do. And I don't feel like I hit it short. I feel like I'm just probably at, like, close to average out here. Then I'm, every time I'm taking it, I'm playing with guys that are in the top 10 to 20 in driving on tour. And so, I laugh at it, but at the same time, I try and it makes it that much better when I roll in a 20-footer and they've got a wedge in their hand and I'm sitting there hitting 6 and 7 irons in and I'm the one making bird and they're making par. So,
drive for show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark Brody. I know Mark Brody doesn't agree with that, but, you know.
That's all right.
Let's see here. Randy. You're up,
yeah, any memorable kind of fan interactions on tour?
So a couple weeks ago at the Honda, the whole valet thing, I don't know if y'all saw that, but somebody thought I was a foul A guy and threw a tweet up there, and it kind of went viral in the golf world. And then, I mean, I saw some people that were kind of like walking off the greens and on the weekend or to the tees, and they're kind of holding up their keys, like just being kind of funny like that. And, but other than that, I mean, you got fans all the time that are yelling all kinds of crazy stuff at you.
Yeah.
Just about every week.
Did you get wrapped up in that whole thing? I know, like, Scratch, like DJ at Scratch, he did something out of Napa.
Yeah.
They had somebody asking, like, you know, if you
yeah.
had to see or whatever. Like, how did you react
yeah,
to that?
I mean, that was my first event. It was my first time playing on a PGA tournament course in a tournament. And so, I think we were on 18, and he comes up and he's saying that a fan has dressed as a pro and is walking around the golf course playing, and so they're having to check credentials and like mark up off a list pretty much. And we're sitting, and I was playing with two other rookies, Dom Bazzelli and Rick Lamb, and we were playing with Patton, and we had a pretty good match going. I think we were all square going into 18, and big hole for the match, and this guy is sitting there just giving us shit about, you know, pretty much just messing with the rookies. And he was asking our names and checking them off the list, but I think he actually made Rick Lamb get his credential out, because when he called him his name, he said he didn't have him on the list, and so he had to get his credential out and check that. And it was pretty good, but we had no idea. I mean, I had no idea what to expect. Definitely wasn't expecting something like that.
I can't remember who it was, but DJ was telling me, like, one of the guys, he was like, he couldn't have been nicer. Like, I guess the guy asked him for like $500. He's like, oh yeah, man, like, I don't have the cash on me right now, but like, you know, I think like I could probably get it from my agent. Like, just give me 20 minutes. So,
I think it was JJ Spawn.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the, I mean, I saw the video afterwards, and I think it was funny. I mean, it was hilarious. They got a lot of us rookies.
And then I think a couple guys were pissed on it too. I was like, come on, man.
Yeah. I think that might have been the most unhappy about it out of anybody,
because
he was on a roll. We had played this match, and it was me and Rick against Tom and Patton, and we had gotten him pretty good on the front, and he was making a million putts like he normally does on the back, and got it all the way back to all square, and I think he was just rolling, trying to keep it going, and this guy just completely buzzkilled. Just took all his steam, yeah, and he wasn't happy about it. But
that is shitty.
What can you do?
What's your go-to course down in Sea Island?
Right now, Sea Island. I'm hoping to join Ocean Forest here soon. That's probably my favorite on the island. But go to when I'm there on a week off is probably Seaside.
Okay. Do you struggle at all, like, switching from grass types? Like, I just remember I've played a couple tournaments down at Sea Island.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the grainiest greens in the world. I mean,
yeah.
Like, do you struggle at all going to Poe or going to Rye or anything like that? Or?
I think the biggest adjustment is going from something other than Bermuda and then going to Bermuda. Because everything else, I don't really look into grain that much. Some guys look into it no matter what the surface is, but I don't really pay attention to any of that until I get to Bermuda. And then you got to start thinking. And even then, I don't really play any breaks, but just speed-wise, I try and pay attention to that. And but
Randy, anything else, man?
No. I say we wrap it. We've taken more than enough of your time.
No, y'all are good. Y'all are good. Appreciate you having me on.
So, you feeling good this week?
Yeah. Been hitting it good the last few weeks, and it's kind of one of those golf courses that needs that. So I feel like if I keep it rolling, it'll be another good week. Trying to make more putts than everybody else. See where they end up.
And then I guess just one last question. Is this a tough time of the year for you, just with, you know, you got like the WGC, you got majors coming up, like just as far as setting your schedule up, or is it good to have a couple off weeks coming up?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, it's never easy to set your schedule coming out of our category with the reshuffles and stuff, and unless you've played really well early and, you know, you're going to be in most of the year. But right now I'm kind of on the fence. I think a real good week could change that, but at the same time, I've been playing a lot of golf lately, so week off is not the end of the world. It's nice to have a chance to reboot and get ready for that next time when we do play.
Well, I tell you what, man, you are an inspiration as far as just not having expectations and taking things as they come. And
love it. It's a cool story. It's a very cool story.
Love it.
It's refreshing.
Love it. I appreciate it.
All right,
hope to say hi in Hilton Head.
Yeah, definitely. I'll keep an eye out for sure.
Yeah, just looking for the 6'8" guy who's wearing a bucket hat and probably some sad clothes. That'd be Randy.
So. Probably missed seven on the course. Yeah, in somebody's line or something. Yeah.
Love it. I'll keep an eye out for sure.
Yeah.
All right,
man.
Thanks.
Appreciate
again.
It.
Ziplock that, right on my waistline is why I kept that strap. I remember nights, I didn't remember nights. I damn near went crazy, I had to get it right. Now I'm your favorite rapper. Hey, now I'm your favorite trapper. The absolute truth.